New Testament book of 1 Corinthians. We'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. It's hard to believe that we're about to say goodbye to 2012. It seems like we just begun the year. And then we realize that the year is nearly over. And what's even harder to believe for me this morning is that we're about to say step into 2013. Did you ever think that someday you'd be living in the year 2013? Well, God had His hand on 2012. God was in control and God was in charge in 2012. And the same God that was in charge in 2012, guess what, will be the same God that is in charge in 2013. This morning, we look in the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians. Seems like we have some feedback here, brothers. Is that me? 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We're going to look at a couple verses there, but the title of the message this morning is Finding Happiness in the New Year. Finding Happiness in the New Year. See, a long-held tradition that is customary this time of year is to wish those around us a heartfelt Happy New Year. We've all done it. And what we're saying when we wish a Happy New Year on someone is that we're wishing joy and happiness upon their lives. After all, we all long for happiness and joy in our lives. And a new year is a transition period. It's a time of new opportunities. It's a time of new beginnings in our lives. It is the closing of one chapter and the opening of another chapter. It's the closing of one door and the opening of another door in our lives. And so many today are searching for meaning and searching for lasting happiness in each passing year. And after all, I believe that God desires that we be happy, that we be fulfilled, and that we be contented. But the problem is that somehow we can begin to think that true and lasting happiness can only be found in the fleeting, temporal, material things of this world. But how can we find true happiness and true joy and true peace in our hearts and in our lives in this upcoming year? Well, many best-selling books have been written on those very topics, but there is but one book that truly has that answer. And this morning we turn to that book as we look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, and I want to back up and pick up chapter 15. Verse 58, which is the last verse in the preceding chapter. We'll read that verse 58, and then we'll skip down to verse 9 of chapter 16. Please join me in standing for the reading of God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. I'll pick up verse 58 of chapter 15. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. For a great door," in verse 9, "for a great door and effectual is opened unto me," Paul says, "and there are many adversaries." Father, bless your word. Give us understanding today and clarity of thought as we seek to know your word and as we seek to follow you. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Lester, it seems when I take my hand off of it, okay. Well, here Paul in verse 9 says, well, first of all, in verse 15, he says to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That verse gave me great comfort as a new pastor in 1997 when I was struggling to try to figure it all out. And it continues to give me great comfort today as a pastor, as a father, a husband, as a person. But in verse 9, Paul, who had endured so much hardship in his life and in his ministry, here he says, "A great door is open to me, and there are many adversaries." And we know that there will be both opportunities and hindrances in our lives in this upcoming year. There will be headaches and blessings in this upcoming year, just as Paul experienced both headaches and blessings in his life, in his ministry. We will experience headaches, hindrances, but we will also experience blessings of God as well. Here, Paul, who had experienced so much in his life, he had experienced persecution. He had been beaten and stoned and left for dead. He had been imprisoned and stripped of all earthly possessions, yet still he was joyful. Still, he found reasons to have peace in his heart and joy in his life. Through all that Paul experienced, he saw opportunity in the midst of hardship. He found true happiness amid sorrow and suffering. Verse 9, he says, a great door is open to me. He found opportunities when it seemed that there were no opportunities. In the Philippian jail, he found opportunity to praise God when it seemed there was no reason to praise Him. He found opportunity to share the gospel when it seemed that there was no opportunity available. Paul found reason to be joyful. He knew what we can also know this morning, and that is that joy comes from the Lord. Joy comes from the Lord. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's a gift from God. The joy of the Lord is a gift. How can we claim or perhaps reclaim the joy of the Lord in our lives in this new year? Well, first of all, we can see that happiness can be found in this new year through fellowship with Christ. Fellowship with Christ. I believe that true happiness and joy cannot be found apart from God. It was God who created us, and He placed in us a longing and a desire to know Him, to fellowship with Him, to walk with Him. The fall of man and the sin of man marred that, but yet that desire is there. And if we're not following God, we're going to be seeking to be dependent upon something in our lives. If we're not dependent upon God, then we can seek dependency in other things, such as relationships or alcohol or drugs or a whole host of any other things in our lives. How can we find that happiness and joy? We can begin by finding happiness and joy in this new year by fellowshipping with Christ. Fellowship is a unique thing. Fellowship is a term that is unique among believers. It means that the Spirit within me identifies or bears witness with the Spirit that is within you. And the Spirit of God within us is indelibly and inseparably connects us together in a spiritual way. We can find happiness through fellowship, first and foremost, in Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 tells us to seek fellowship with one another and with the Lord. And it talks about the power that there is in fellowship, that it can cleanse us from sin. In other words, if we are not in a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then we cannot be cleansed from our sins unless we come into a right relationship with our Savior. Therefore, we stand unclean. We stand undone in our sins before the Lord because sin breaks the fellowship. Sin in our lives breaks the fellowship between me and between God. But yet repentance and redemption restores the fellowship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. But not only do we need fellowship with the Lord, but we also need fellowship with other Christians. We need fellowship with believers, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. If we're not in a right relationship with God, then we will not be in a right relationship with the body of Christ. And the opposite is also true. If you have surrendered our lives to His Lordship, then we will desire to have fellowship and live in unity with God's people. In fact, the Bible warns us of having fellowship with the wrong people because light and darkness cannot and will not mix. And an ungodly influence can have negative consequences in our lives. Listen, you can have acquaintances, you can have friendships with unbelievers, with those that do not know the Lord, but yet we cannot fellowship with them. Why? Because fellowship is a uniquely spiritual endeavor exclusively reserved for the body of Christ, for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact is that as believers in Christ, in order to stand in this evil day, in this evil time, in this wicked day and hour that we live in, we need close fellowship with the Lord. We need close fellowship with God's people, and we need close fellowship with God's church. When we are not in a right relationship, we stand to be deceived. We stand to be discouraged. We stand to be drawn away from God. We stand to be tempted and enticed and led away from truth. Amen. Just as a lamb is led away from the shepherd and led away from the fold and right into the predator's snare. So how can we find happiness in this new year? It begins with a right fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only do we need that fellowship with Christ and with His people, but also we can see that happiness can be found in this new year through a right followership. We need fellowship with Christ, but we also must follow after Christ. We are to follow Him. What did Jesus say time and time again? He said, "Come and follow me." So we need fellowship and we need followership. We need to follow Him. We cannot be in a fellowship with the Lord unless we are following after the Lord. And we cannot follow after the Lord unless we are in a right relationship with the Lord. So one is mutually dependent upon the other. Jesus says to deny yourself, take up your cross, and what? Follow me. He calls us to follow Him. But what does it mean to truly follow Christ in this day that we live? You see, the world says to follow after worldly endeavors, to follow after worldly things, to follow after worldly pursuits, to follow after selfish ambitions and selfish desires. All the while, Jesus cries out, forsake it all and come and follow me. That call was issued in the Gospels and it continues to ring out today. We are to follow Christ. We must follow His call. He calls us out of darkness and into His light. He calls us out of sin and into His righteousness. He calls us to begin that joyful relationship through salvation. Salvation is the beginning point of true joy in our lives when we are redeemed into a right relationship with the Lord. But that relationship continues, that joy continues in our life through following Christ as we daily follow Him. But not only must we follow God's call, but we must also follow God's command. In Matthew 22, He tells us to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, and to love others as we love ourselves. That's a lot of love. That sort of love radically changes us. It changes us from the inside out. It changes our wants. It changes our desires. It changes our very character and nature. And only God can make those changes in our lives. That sort of love allows others to see the Lord in us. People look around and they say, "Where is God? Where is God in this tragedy? Where is God in that tragedy?" We can see God through His people living surrendered lives unto Him. So we see that that sort of love impacts and governs every area of our lives. Everything that we say and do, which in turn aligns our lives to God's perfect will for us, which in turn always leads to joy and happiness in our lives. Being in God's will, being where God wants you to be, living how God wants you to live, doing the things that God wants you to do, will always bring joy and peace to our lives. But in addition to following God's call, in addition to following God's command, we must also follow God's commission. In Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, God commissioned the church. He commissioned us to do something. We have received a commission from on high. We are commissioned to worship God, to honor God in our worship, to glorify God, and to tell the old story. We sang this morning, "I love to tell the story." One of my favorite all-time hymns. You see, this world is depending upon us, the church, to tell the old story. Because in that simple old story, lives can be changed. in that simple old story, the power of the gospel becomes alive in people's hearts. We're to tell the old story. As a church, we must realize that there's power in the gospel, power to change lives, but the story must be told. How can a world of lost people be saved? How can those in darkness come to the light? How can our churches, our church roles grow? How can the roles of heaven grow? How can people come to faith unless they hear, unless the people of God share the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? After all, He is the hope of the ages, and He is the light of the world. You see, by following Christ this morning, by following His call to be saved and to live surrendered lives, by following His command to place love for Him and love for others above ourselves, by following His great commission to be willing to be God's instruments to lead others to salvation, we can fulfill our created purpose and live for God and experience the joy that only the Lord can give. Here the Apostle Paul, while imprisoned and beaten and banished, could say, "Whatever my lot in life, I am content. I'm content in the Lord. He is sufficient for me." Joy can only be found this morning by being in a right fellowship with the Lord, in a right walk with the Lord, and by following Him, seeking and desiring to follow Him in our lives. But not only can happiness be found this morning by fellowshipping with the Lord and following after the Lord, but also we can see that happiness and true joy can be found in this new year by fighting with the Lord, fighting for the Lord. In other words, Paul said this. He said to fight the good fight. He said that I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul fought many battles in his life, but he never fought them alone. God was with him through it all. God never left him, and He promises to never leave us or forsake us. No matter what our lives may face in this new year, we can rest assured that God will be with us. And we can rest assured that evil will continue to grow and fester in our world, and that God's people must continue to fight the good fight. That we must continue to stand for God and stand for His righteousness. In this life, we will continue to experience constant struggle. And as God's people, we must, as Paul said, fight the good fight. In Ephesians 6, he tells us that we're in a spiritual battle. And as Christians, the moment we come to Christ, we are at war. We are at odds with the world. We are at odds with a world that is growing increasingly hostile toward the people of God. We are at odds with a world that is becoming more and more open and blatant with its sin. We are at odds with Satan, who desires to destroy our Christian witness, to deceive us from truth, and to draw us away from God. And we are at odds with our very own flesh that does not naturally want, desire to serve and follow God. So there is a battle, there's a spiritual battle that rages. And in order to experience victory and joy and under those type of circumstances, we must battle against those very things, continually struggle by continuing to seek God in our lives, continuing to follow Him, worship Him, live for Him, and seek His faith until He calls us home. Someone says, "When will the struggle end? When will the struggle between good and evil end? When will the struggle in my life that I'm going through end?" When the Lord calls us home. Our struggles will end when we leave this place and go to a better place. So we see that we must battle against those things. That is a constant, conscious, ongoing, active spiritual struggle that goes on in our lives, in our homes, in our families, in our churches, and throughout all of our world. And so we see this morning that God does not call us to compromise with sin, but He calls us to stand bold and firm against it. God never calls us to compromise against sin and evil and unrighteousness, but yet He calls us to fight against it, to fight a sin and every appearance of evil in this upcoming year. God calls us to fight the good fight, to not grow weary in well-doing, and to never surrender our hearts and our lives to evil influences, to sin and ungodliness and unrighteousness in our lives. There was a time when the church of God would not stand for the evil that flourishes in our day today. There was a time when the church would stand and be very vocal and speak out against evil and ungodliness. Where are our voices today? Now is not the time for the people of God to sit idly by on the pew and wave the white flag of surrender and to blow the trumpet of defeat. Now, in this new year, the church must boldly and triumphantly march forward, carrying the banner of Christ and the truth of Christ into this new year. And we can know that through that, ultimate victory and true joy comes from the Lord. True joy and happiness is achievable in your life in this new year, but it cannot be achieved apart from God. The world is full of people today that are trying to find happiness and true joy and peace apart from God. They think they can find it by marrying the right person, by getting the right job, and by doing this or doing that, and they continue their lives searching for that magic potion, that magic solution that's going to make everything all right in their lives. We cannot experience true joy and lasting peace without a right relationship with God. Paul found that to be true. And everything that Paul experienced, all the hardships that Paul experienced throughout his ministry and his life, he endured great hardship, all because he proclaimed the gospel and because he stood for the Lord Jesus Christ. But in his darkest hours, Paul said, a door has been opened to me. A window of opportunity here is available in my hardship to be a witness for Christ, to praise the Lord in the middle of my suffering, and to be a mouthpiece for truth and to stand for the Lord Jesus. We too must look for those windows of opportunities in our times of suffering and our times of hardship to be a blessing to those around us. In this new year, we can experience that happiness and joy. We can experience by fellowshipping with Christ, by following after Christ, and by fighting the good fight and standing with Christ, because we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. I pray that you would fill our lives with hope, with joy, and with peace. Yet, Lord, we know this morning that we cannot experience those things apart from you. So, Father, today I pray that you would fill this place and fill our hearts. Help us to see, Lord, this morning our great need for you. And, Father, during this time of invitation, I pray that you would speak to us. And Lord, have your will and your way in our hearts and lives during this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If God has spoken to you this morning, then this altar is open. I want to invite you to come. Whatever your need may be, whatever God is saying to you, God can meet that need right here. Father, thank you for that sweet Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives and in this place this morning. Thank you for your word. Lord, it always corrects us and guides us and helps us along our way. Lord, I pray your blessings upon each one this morning. I pray that, Lord, tonight as we come back for our prayer service, Lord, that it would place us on a right footing to begin this new year. Lord, I was always taught, but before I begin anything, to pray, to bathe it in prayer. So, Lord, as tonight, that's what we'll be doing during this time of this prayer service. Before we begin this new year, we want to bathe it in prayer, Lord, that we might do the things and say the things that you would have us to do, and that we might walk in your perfect will throughout all of the year. Lord, bless us this morning as we leave this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.